Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Stoke, I'm curious to get your reaction, and really your specific reaction, being as that you played the wide receiver position for 15 years in this league, you're uniquely qualified to speak on what you see from that position. Love to lean into that and use you as a resource for something like this. The video of Courtland Sutton. The video of Courtland Sutton yesterday in practice looked like some sort of, well, instead of me trying to translate what I saw, you tell me what drill that Courtland was doing yesterday.
Well, it's just a, you know, it's just a warm-up drill, is it. You know, you're with your coach, individual. It's what you do first thing out in practice. You do different things to get warmed up, to get ready to go, whether it be like 50-75% releases, you know, just kind of getting the body warmed up. Some teams start with pat and go, which is the quarterbacks with the receivers. You're just kind of jogging down there. They throw it over your shoulder. This drill he's doing, he's just kind of a slight angle. You know, he's just running up the field, just slight angle. You know, put the left foot in the ground, go back to the right. You know what I'm saying? They keep you as you're moving forward. And then put the right foot, go back to the left a little bit. And you just, all in while, you kind of stay, you're pretty much staying on the same line that you're running, but you're just getting the body loose. That's really it. You're just getting warmed up right now. It's 50, 60, 70%. But it looked awful. I can't lie. It looked awful. It looked like, you know, 37-year-old Brandon Stokely out there, you know, trying to run the day after the game. And I just, like, say I just played 50 plays. Sore, tired. Like, it's just like, oh, it's, you know.
Like trudging.
Yes. It looked bad. It's on a Wednesday. He shouldn't be sore from anything that happened the day before. Concerned. I mean, once again, he looked fine on Sunday. Fine, like, you know, no limp or visible limp or anything like that.
He did have a visible limp, though.
He did?
On one of the long ball attempts.
The one on the left side that
I believe
that was thrown to him, that was overthrown?
So, yes, I think so. And he kind of, go back and watch it, because I didn't notice it when it first happened. But it was brought to my attention on social media, went back and looked at it, and he seemed to, like, you know, limp out of it. Like, when it wasn't, like, when the play was over,
gotcha.
it was clear that it wasn't going to work out. Like, he relaxed himself and went back to a limp.
Yeah, you know, this is what we talked about during training camp. I think you're the one that brought it to my attention. I was like, okay, let me just watch Courtland. I haven't just been watching Courtland, but let me just watch Courtland Sutton this one day for the most part. And it was there. It was concerning. And it's concerning again. And my thing is this, Zach. You know, what are we doing? You know, Denver Broncos, like, we're cautious and we take this approach and that approach with certain guys. But this guy, you know, maybe structurally it's fine. But, you know, him running, then you watch him slow down and he just doesn't bend the knee. You know, it looks bad. And what's going to happen? You're going to injure something else.
Right.
You're just going to injure something else here. And it reminds me of a guy that Bryce Callahan, when he tried to come back a couple years ago in practice.
Oh, that's right. That
and
video.
He's just like limping around. Yes. I'm like, why is he even out there?
And as I recall, that was warm-ups as well.
Yes. Why is he even out there? He looks awful. And 2 days later, they put him on IR or whatever it was. A week later, he was on IR. I don't know. And you know Courtland wants to be out there.
Of course.
Right? He's a captain.
Of course.
Right? He's a football player. And he's tough. But at a certain point, you know, Vic has just got to say, man, he's not ready. He's not going to help the football team out in the long run if he's running like this. He's only going to hurt the football team. He's going to hurt himself. But he just doesn't look healthy at all. And maybe that knee just takes a while to get loose. right? I mean, I can look at it from a different perspective.
Sure,
here. This is just warm-ups. Maybe it takes a little while to get that thing going.
But even in warm-ups, you don't want to see a plodding limp. You just don't want to see it. Like, yeah, can you work yourself up with a lather and get to a point where you feel more comfortable? We've seen him comfortable. We saw him in the third preseason game put that foot in the ground and go. But what type of toll does that take when you actually do it? You know, what type of toll does it take the next day, 2 days later? Was there, you know, a small, minor, not structural, but setback in terms of pain threshold? Like, we just don't know, but I think those questions are fair when you see a video like that one.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, I think they, taking the information that I got, that I have, training camp, the game, this video, and at a certain point, you just say, let's take a step back here, and let's look at the big picture. You know, Jerry Jeudy's goes down. What happens now? Like, you feel more pressure on yourself as a wide receiver to be available to your team.
Of course.
To be out there, right? So that's the last thing that you want to do, is not to be available for your team. But at the same time, you know, your situation is unique. It shouldn't be impacted by what happens to other guys, right? And does that make sense?
It does, but when you're the guy,
right?
When you're that person walking in those shoes and it's step-up time, you've done it. Like, all the things that Jeudy and Hamler and Tim Patrick want to do, Courtland Sutton has already done in this league. And it was an injury that derails it, new draft picks, and sort of the narrative changes. But he's probably like, this is my time again. Jeudy's down. We have a quarterback that can deliver me the football. Now is my time again.
Yeah, but he's got to know, when you watch film, you know, right? You know yourself, right? I mean, you feel it, you know, and when you watch film, and trust me, he's seen this, I'm sure. I don't know, but you know, like, you know, I'm just not quite ready yet. Now I'll try to fight through it and be there for my teammates, but my one thought and hope is that he just doesn't hurt himself more and hurt something else.
Right.
But I think it's, you know, with a lot of guys, they take certain approaches, right? And it's cautious. But with other guys, you don't have that. You know, it's like Courtland Sutton out there on a Wednesday. How about a vet day for him?
Mm.
You know, he sure looks like he could use it. I don't know, man. I don't know. And it's just one video, but it's concerning is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, panic over here and say, you know, he doesn't need to play for the next 3 weeks and this and that. But it's concerning because this is what we talked about in camp. Right? This is what we saw in camp, and now we're seeing it again here, you know, going into the second week of the season. And we know he's not totally fully back. And this is evidence, really. I mean, it's just right there that you could tell he's not fully back from that ACL surgery. But yeah. What's next? You know what I mean? Like, I was surprised that he played as many plays as he played. I thought it'd be like 20, 25.
Played, what was it, 53, right?
Something like that.
Justin and Boulder.
I mean, should that be the case? That's my question. Should that be the case? Because I don't think he is out there helping the football team out when he plays 50-something plays right now. It's a fine line, Zach, and that's the hard part here.
Should someone from the organization step in?
Yes. It's a fine line, and this is the hard thing. And like we saw last year with Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon, like, you wouldn't think this plays a part in certain things, but it does, because he's the lead dog there, right? He's the guy that's had great success, and now, you know, he's not back to form, but he wants to be out there. You know, who's going to tell him no? You're not going out there right now. You're not ready to go. You're not helping the football team.
Save him from himself.
That's the hard thing. And that's the hard thing in the NFL.
And that got just even harder with Jerry Jeudy going down.
That's right.
Justin in Boulder says, and I love texts like this and people like this. Do you think there's any chance, because Courtland knew he was being recorded and it would leak to media, that he's slow playing it and setting up the Jacksonville cornerback?
That's funny, buddy. That's funny. That's a good one. I hope you were joking.
All right. We'll put that one on the back burner for now. Speaking of wide receivers, though, KJ Hamler dropped a touchdown pass this past weekend, and he is not taking it lightly. Details next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
KJ Hamler dropped a touchdown pass on Sunday, and he is not taking it lightly. After Hamler dropped that big pass from Bridgewater this past weekend, he took some steps to correct it that are, it feels like, right out of a movie script. And KJ Hamler gave a pretty serious tone response to being asked about his costly drop.
I've always been hard on myself. So even after the drop, I was still thinking about it, stuff like that. But, you know, when that third down came and I caught that big catch for the third down, you know, you got to know when to drop it out and then when to, you know, when you can bring it back up. Because after the game, the next few days, it was still on my mind. You know, I came out here on Monday and I told one of the assistants just throw me 100 over the shoulder balls, like deep balls, and the wind was blowing the same way it was. We were in New York, so it was kind of perfect. So just to get that repetition, you know, so I won't drop that again because that's not my forte.
Mm. What do you think about doing 100 reps of the same play that he dropped? There's two different schools of thought on this one.
There are. I mean, I don't know how. Just good. Like, admit your mistake. Know that you should have caught it. No excuses there. You know, some people wanted to make excuses. That was Teddy underthrew him.
It's like, come on, people.
Like, you're in the NFL.
You're as wide open as you're going to get. Was it picture perfect? No, I guess not.
But it hardly ever is.
Right.
I mean, catch the stinking ball, right? So, but he took ownership of it. He's working on it. He, you know, it's not like he's saying, well, this happened, that happened. No, he knows. I got to catch the ball. I got to get better. It can't happen. Let me go continue to work on it. So I say, awesome. Good job. Hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
You made a mistake. Don't dwell on it. Don't get in your own head about it. I think I heard Tyler say that yesterday, right? He was like, I don't know if I like this. Like, you made a mistake. Let's move on. Like, you catch the ball. Don't like overemphasize just a little thing. Like, it was there. You didn't make the play. Move on. You don't need to, you know, start going stir crazy about it.
But it's not a little thing. It's a big thing. You know, it's a big deal. It's what you do. It's your job. It's your profession. It can't happen. So own it and work on it. Like, it's not going anywhere. You're not going to just forget about it. You don't forget about drops like that. Take ownership and go out there and work on it. That's all you can do now. So I don't like the approach of just like, oh, okay, whatever. I'm just putting it behind me and moving on. I like his approach. Let me work on what I need to work on. You know, you still have a lot of time during a football season to get better or get worse. And it's not going to be perfect out there. You're going to have some bad plays. But you can't just throw them away and forget about them and just try to move on and not work on the things that you'll do it again.
Yeah.
So I like the fact, I don't know, maybe it was easy for Tyler to just, you know, kind of throw it behind and forget about it. All those holding calls he had, I guess, I don't know. But I think for most guys, I like the approach from Hamler.
Someone on the RamosLaw.com text line, put your name on it, give you a shout out. KJ needs to chill out. Yeah, he should have caught the pass, but also the ball placement on that route was terrible. It drifted in the air because that's a deep throw from someone with Bridgewater's arms.
It drifted in the air. Yeah, that's what footballs usually do when
you
throw them.
Got caught up there like a tee shot.
Right, yeah. I mean, it hit him right in the hands, you know. Did the defender knock the ball out?
No.
Hit him right in the hands. Like, pretty much a layup. All you got to do is just watch it in. Just watch it in. You know, just sometimes you take your eye off of it. Sometimes you lose concentration, focus. But it's no one's fault but his. And he took ownership. Perfect. Continue to work on it. And try to turn it into, you know, a negative into a positive. But you can't just, you know, I don't like the approach of, okay, whatever, it's done, it's over with, I'm moving on. I don't think it gets better unless you really take ownership and you go out there and try to fix it. And the only way to fix it is by working on it. So if you have problems with drops, admit it, know it's a mistake, know it's something that you got to work on, and then go out there and practice after practice and catch balls, right? That's how you get better. I don't know. I don't know any other way to get better. Maybe Tyler does. Hey, listen from 3 to 7, see if Tyler can give us ways that, you know, wide receivers can get better by not working on their mistakes.
Look at the hustle by Columbus.
Oh, my gosh. I can still picture that big old Columbus just like, boom, boom, boom. And now you look at him, and he's just like a, I mean, he is, he's just like a machine now. I mean, like, he is in great shape.
In great shape.
Columbus is down the field.
Columbus.
And so is D-Mac. D-Mac was like, I heard D-Mac go on the air. He's like, yeah, I got a ride in today. But I also went running, too. He's like doing, D-Mac's like doing two-a-days in between taking selfies on Twitter.
Mm. Yeah, at a certain point, it's a little bit too much. You know, it becomes too much.
Takes a lot of selfies and videos. He's doing like morning reflections now, like 5:30 in the morning, like a selfie and like some.
Is he really?
Yeah, like here's like my big like broad sweeping thought of the day that, wow, I want to penetrate your life.
Enough, buddy.
So you want to what?
He wants it to sink in.
Oh.
I want to pound his ass.
Well, I think, you know, when I saw D-Mac had a video, like he did some kind of, I don't know what it was, some deal he's doing now, right? All these triathlons or whatever. And he showed it. It looked cool. You know, it's like, okay. And it was him running. Somebody was videoing. I don't know if he, does he have like does he pay somebody
he's
now?
He's got a video crew.
Yeah. Does he have like a crew with him that follows him to these races and stuff and that videos him and stuff?
He's got a crew, and Richie's his fall guy.
If y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew.
No, Richie, no. Say it ain't so. No, but he was finishing this race, and he was talking about, like, you know, it was like, you know, 100-mile bike and this, all these different things, right? And he's finishing it. He's like, this is me kind of about to cross the finish line. And he was running. He had his phone in his hand.
Really?
In his hand.
During the race.
During the race. I'm like, it can't be that hard then. Like, if you're running with your phone in your hand.
That's a millennial move.
Yes, and it's not that hard of a race. Like, if you're doing a tough race, you're not thinking about running with your phone. Your phone is put away.
Well, those selfies aren't going to take themselves.
That's true. You got to worry about your brand. You got to have your brand. That's true.
What is the latest with Bradley Chubb out at practice? We'll check in with Mike Kliss from Dove Valley next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. Looking forward to tomorrow's show already.
Yeah.
Your plan and behind the scenes here. That's what we do. We always have a plan. You don't just come in and fly by the seat of our pants.
Come on.
Leave that to some of these other shows. Not here.
Last Friday was fun too. We're gonna bring the. I think it's probably maybe just Hip Hop Friday.
Hey, hold on. This is what I want to do tomorrow. All right, I want, because the Broncos are in the state of Florida, I would like there to be an emphasis on hip hop artists from Florida, and there is a gazillion of them. Gazillion.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Ricky Rose.
Yeah.
Trick Daddy.
Oh,
I mean,
Trick
the list
love
goes.
The kids.
Trick Love the Kids.
Trick Love the Kids.
I mean, there are a ton of artists from Miami.
Yeah, we can make one or two exceptions, though, possibly.
What about Pitbull? I hate Pitbull. I cannot stand Pitbull.
Yeah, no.
Mr. What does he call himself? Mr. Internationally known?
Yes. Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. 305.
Mr. 305. 305 of my city.
I did it.
I get it.
I swear to.
Do we have Mike Kliss? Okay.
Kliss,
what's up, man? What's the latest vibe surrounding Bradley Chubb? And what does your gut tell you for Sunday?
It's good.
you know, the vibe. He played 12, you know, with him playing team snaps. That's the key to a return. You know, that means the guy's close, and he played 12 to 15 yesterday. He will, Fangio said he's going to play more today. So I think he'll play. I think it was close last week. I really believe with the turf, when you have an ankle injury, the turf's not where you want to come back from. That can set you back, you know, if you have a sore and tender ankle. Playing on turf isn't going to help matters. So it made sense for him to sit that game. You know, if it was a playoff game, he would have played last week. So given that, I think he will play this week against Jacksonville.
Mike, have you seen the video circulating of Courtland Sutton in warm-ups? Looks like a bad limp there. This is kind of what we saw in training camp. Is he healthy? What have you seen the video?
No, I have not seen the video.
Okay,
so,
well, there goes that question.
I saw him on Sunday. And
what did you think?
He had the one catch, and then the deep ball where he was overthrown, and it was overthrown from the beginning. You know, sitting up in the press box, you could tell pretty much after it left Teddy's hand, it was going to be incomplete.
Yeah, Mike, it just doesn't look like he's healthy, though. You know, you watch him and you take everything into consideration. If you haven't seen the video, I'll just tell you, he's limping in warm-ups, but he just doesn't look like he's completely healthy. Now, can he play? Yes, but I think it's a situation where at some point someone needs to step in and say, you know, this guy's not ready to quite go yet, because all he's going to do is hurt the football team or hurt himself again.
Warm-ups and from practice this week, or warm-ups from the game?
Practice. Okay. Talking about practice.
Yeah. Well, that's I'll pay attention to that today.
Okay.
I did not notice that yesterday. He was out running all the drills.
Okay.
We don't see the contested. We don't see him contested. We just see him in the pad drills. You know,
right.
On in. And you know, he, the thing with him, I keep thinking the problem is his brace, and he loves the brace. I think if he sheds the brace, and maybe he's not ready mentally, maybe he's not ready physically to shed the brace, but I think he would look better. You know, his gait would be better, and he might even have an extra bounce. You know, even Brady said that, I think a week or so ago, that he feels much, much different, much freer, I think is what he said.
Yeah.
When he got rid of his brace. So I think that's part of it. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. The other thing about Courtland Sutton, though, and I'll say this on his behalf with his health. When he's healthy, he's not a big separation guy. You know, he almost a lot of his catches in his career, you know, 2 years ago, he made a ton of contested catches.
Yep.
And that's the thing about him. You know, he's kind of like a post-up player.
Yeah, he's not a speed guy.
Yeah, he's like Brandon Marshall was, early in his career when the Broncos had him. You know, you post him up, and he's not going to separate like Jerry Jeudy does or K.J. Hamler does downfield. But even when he's covered, he can be open because he's going to come down with it. And we'll see what happens. I'll be interested to see with Jeudy out. And by the way, I think it's – I know Patrick is really good and is a good replacement, but you want all of them. I think Judy's a big loss for this team. I almost as big this year as Courtland Sutton was for this team last year. And because Jeudy has come on that much, and we'll see how it goes. Teddy Bridgewater, the worst we had seen him, guys, was in that last preseason game against the Rams, and he tried to force the ball to Courtland. And I'm wondering, should be a little bit on guard to watch for that, to see if Teddy doesn't try to too much force the ball to Courtland now that Jerry Jeudy I think that would be a bad result for the Broncos if that happens.
Well, it could be a big game for Noah Fant. You know what I mean? We talked about this yesterday. Yeah. Let's not isolate it to just the receivers. You got some terrific tight ends, a trio of them. Real quick before we let you go, Mike, Graham Glasgow had the heart irregularity. Thank you, partner.
Yeah. Go with a regular heartbeat. That's the way I put them in sequence.
A regular heartbeat during the game, had to leave in an ambulance, stayed over in New York. What's his status for this weekend?
Not going to play. Pat Shurmur, made that clear today, and I had heard that too. He wasn't going to play. Maybe next week against the Jets, but maybe not. I think they're going to be cautious. You know, Jonathan Cooper, it's interesting. Jonathan Cooper, when they found his deal right before the draft, they wouldn't let him travel for 30 days. Now, it was encouraging that Glasgow was able to travel 48 hours after his situation. So that was good. But still, I think Cooper, it really took him a couple months before he was full go, cleared for full go. I think doctors are a little more cautious than, say, there's no exact timetable on a heartbeat deal versus breaks, fractures, and ligaments and that type of thing. So Shurmur made it sound like he might miss a few games. So we'll have to wait and see. I know he's not playing this Sunday against Jacksonville.
Mike, last one real quick. I think it's interesting. Broncos are going out there on Friday. I love that idea. We did that a lot in 2012 under Foxy. Is this the first time that they have done this under Vic Fangio? And your thoughts on it?
I think it is. He used to do it quite a bit with Sanford. San Francisco does it a lot.
Right.
Seattle does it a lot. You know, they've got another time zone to go. I like it. The only concern is you're now on COVID alert because it spiked there in Jacksonville, as the New Orleans Saints can tell you. So that's a concern. I think they're going to be pretty well, not quarantined to their hotel, but close to it.
Sure. Okay.
All right, Mike, we appreciate your time. Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. See you guys.
All right. That was our 9 News Broncos insider, Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. All right. We have a couple things to react to during that conversation. But first, Von Miller kicked the door down to the 2021 season. Do we have renewed expectations for the remaining 16 games? We'll take a dive into that coming up next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Von Miller kicked the door down to the 2021 season. Do we have renewed expectations for the remaining 16 football games? Given Von Stoke passed the eye test in a serious way and already has 2 sacks under his belt, are you raising the bar even higher than your initial projection for Von Miller?
No, I'm going to keep it the same. You know, I don't think we made a prediction on him, but, for me, I think it was right around 15 sacks for him.
Oh, was it that high? I don't know. I don't remember hearing that in the preseason.
You don't?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where
that
I was.
That would have stuck out.
Really?
I think you were like double figures.
That's double figures, Zach.
Yeah.
I'm right. 14, 15 sacks for Von Miller. And that's where I still am. I mean, I expected him to come out and have a really good year this year. That's the way I felt, and I haven't changed. Like, all of a sudden, I think he's going to have more sacks or anything like that. I think, you know, you're going to see some games where he doesn't get a sack, obviously. He's not going to get one in every game, but I'm expecting him to go out there and have games like we saw. You know, have those 2 sack games, and those were just missing a couple years ago, and just have an impact, have more of an impact. But, yeah, I would say right now my expectations are 14, 15 sacks. Where are you at right now? Has that changed?
Yes, it has changed for me. It's not like I didn't think Von was going to be productive.
You were down on Vaughn heading into this year.
I was higher on him last season. I'll say that.
I'm joking.
No, I know you are, but I was higher on him last season. I was like, who's got the Von Miller stock?
Let me buy it up.
I just wasn't sure about the age coming off of a major injury like that. Von hadn't been through something like that even within the past handful of years. Like, you going through a major injury when you're, 23 is different from when you're 32. It just is. It's physics. It's who we are as humans. And I just wasn't sure what that was going to look like after a year off of ball coming off a major injury. But, man, in terms of the eye test, and I'll tell you what, and this is, I guess, a little bit outside the box maybe, haven't mentioned this, but, Stoke, I was more encouraged about Vaughn's 2021 season on the plays that weren't sacks just as much on the plays that were.
I like it. I like that. Too often, and we highlighted a lot of it in 2019, the effort intensity just wasn't there if it wasn't a pass play.
Right.
And that's just the reality of it, that the film doesn't lie. Film doesn't lie. And there was just too many of those plays that the effort was lacking when it wasn't a pass play. And
right.
Sometimes even on pass play. Sometimes an injury, it gives you a different perspective on the game and what you appreciate and all kind of different things. But we saw it not only getting after the quarterback, but also in the running game. He was great. And hopefully it continues. I'm expecting it to continue. I mean, they're playing a Jags team that's not a very good football team with a rookie quarterback that's probably going to hold the ball too long. So I'm expecting, hopefully the Broncos can get that lead and put a lot of pressure on the Jags.
That'd be great.
And give our defense that advantage of knowing that you're going to have to throw the football. And then I want to see what this defense looks like and see what Vaughn can do when it comes to getting after Trevor Lawrence.
You remember
he gets a sack this week?
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
Are you going? You last week you nailed it. You said two.
Yep.
What do you think this week?
One sack. He'll have three sacks in two games by the time the clock hits zeros here.
I'm going to go two.
Yeah?
Back-to-back ain't cheap.
Going back-to-back.
Yeah.
Like you're on the cover of Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Like you're Jordan 96-97.
Yeah, like that.
Mm.
Yep.
You know who they're
left? A couple. But the offense has to play a part in that. If you get that lead, you put that pressure on them.
You remember who that left tackle is there in Jacksonville?
Is that Cam Robinson?
You're on it.
Cam Robinson.
He's in Bowles class with Ryan Ramczyk, Garrett Bowles, and Cam Robinson.
Yep.
I think the early returns on his career were not very good, but there he is still standing in year number
five. Yeah, I remember that draft class, and, those were the tall Cam Robinson, Alabama.
Yep.
Ryan Ramczyk, Wisconsin.
Was it Wisconsin?
I don't remember. It doesn't sound, I don't know.
I don't think. And
Bowles, Utah, right?
Then Bowles, Utah.
I mean, there was those
it
three.
It was Wisconsin.
Okay. All right. Cam Robinson and Bowles were the ones that struggled more so early. Ramczyk right out the gate, was looking like the best pick. And now Bowles kind of made up some ground last year. But it was those three guys.
Yeah.
And Broncos had the pick of anyone that they wanted, and they went with Bowles. And thank goodness he played well last year.
Oh, my gosh. His career was headed towards him being a punchline in this town for many, many years to come. And again, we've talked about it through the offseason. Maybe the most improbable. I was actually thinking about this yesterday. I shot a basketball yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, for the first time in a while. And
like on a mini hoop or a real basketball?
Yeah, real basketball.
Did you play or did you just?
No. Just
baby hammy still?
Yeah. I'm just trying to.
Did you ever reach out to Ronald Darby about that?
I did not. I did wait to hear back.
Huh?
Zach, you're a little soft.
Yes. Thank you, Richie.
I'm actually waiting to hear back from the Broncos because I reached out to the organization hoping that I could go into Dove Valley, going to UCL Training Center every morning with Ronald.
Right.
And so he and I, because we're at same starting point, hopefully same ending point after the short-term IR. So
perfect. Yeah. I think that would be a great idea.
Get that cold tub.
Right.
I used to hate those cold tubs. Did you used to wear the little footy things on your toes when you got in the cold tub?
Oh, yes.
Same. And I know some guys would be like, oh, where you put that on? I'm like, dude, I am putting these on my feet.
Oh, my goodness. Because my feet froze.
Yes.
I tell you what, though. I had Achilles and I had a Liz Frank.
Yeah.
You can't put the footy thing on when you have Liz Frank. Because now you're covering up, where that injury is.
Oh, God.
So
you just stick it right
in there into the ice, and you talk about just send shockwaves to your brain and just numbness and,
wow. And you would think, like, if you've never done this, like, if your whole body's in a cold tub, what would it matter if your toes were covered up? I'm telling you, it matters.
No, those are the most sensitive parts when you're in there, and it makes a huge difference. You got to put the little footy things on.
For sure.
Yep. I just got old enough. When I got too old, I was just like, man, I'm not even dealing with the cold tub anymore. Just not even doing it. Just can't even do it.
What year was that in the league?
I couldn't do the cold tub. I would get into the individual one so you can kind of adjust the coldness and stuff. Those big ones that they have now, they just make that thing like whatever degrees and it's freezing. But the single little silver tub.
Yeah, that's what we had. That's what we had at college. Yep.
Yes. Now you can adjust that and make it, it doesn't have to be, 20 degrees. It can be, you can get it to 32. So it's not like it's manageable.
Yeah.
And then you do like a little contrast and jump in the hot tub for a little bit and back to the cold.
We didn't have the hot tub. We just had the cold tubs. But I remember those putties were a lifesaver. With Vaughn.
How'd we get on that?
I don't know. With Vaughn. You got him for two on Sunday. You got him for 15 for the year.
Yeah. Do you think that's too high? I mean, you got two the first game. Do you think 15 is too high? Where are you at right now? Put a number on it.
He's already got two with 16 left. I'll say he gets to 12 and a half. Well, 12 and a half.
Okay.
I just know that there's some major competition coming right around the corner. Like, right around the corner.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It means that the two sacks that he got this past weekend are two of the easier sacks that he's going to get this year.
But I don't look at it that way. I look at Von Miller as, they got their hands full with Von.
Sure.
I understand what you're talking about. Like, the competition is better. Yeah, the offensive line for the Giants stinks. But still, I'm looking at Von like, I don't care who it is. I think Von is back.
I hope you're right.
Right.
I got him at 12 and a half sacks. That's the most that he's had in years. I'm really encouraged by what I see. Do I think he's going to be 25-year-old Von Miller? No, I don't. Hey, do it for another two or three weeks in a row? I only got one football game to work with, and it was awesome. But the one, the right tackle, looked like it was a glitch in Madden. He literally didn't move. And the other one, it looked like Soldier just, tried to play the outside rush and gave him a baby little, baby little two-hand punch, and he was already off balance, and it didn't take much. It wasn't like he was, moving the man.
Just taking away from Von Sacks. Yes, you are.
I mean, Von took sacks away from Shelby Harris. I might take one away from him.
Well, I mean.
if you didn't hear that earlier when Von spoke, he said in the past, Shelby Harris had a sack that Von thought he had, and they petitioned to the league to get it changed, and they, in fact, changed it.
Oof.
Imagine being Shelby on that Monday or Tuesday. Like, hey, I know you had a great weekend because you got that sack, but it's actually a zero on the sheet now. I got it.
Yeah.
He was sacked. It just goes to me.
And Shelby was, was this last year?
It would have been the year before.
And like, if you're Shelby, you're looking at Von like, really? Dude, you got your payday.
Like, you're 24th all time.
Right. You already got your payday. These sacks matter more to me than you, really. But that's the way defensive guys are. They want sacks, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I do. I think Von is a 14, 15 sack guy this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're right about that, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but if you're right about that, if that ultimately comes true.
And KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver, that came true for me and for you. You cut me off, so I cut you off. After you cut me off, I was going to cut you off and pay you back.
They came to your house, you had just slap your kids around a little bit.
You had a chance. You took it from me. I didn't realize it, but then when you took it, I realized it. Then I also realized it that you didn't realize
it. No, I didn't realize
it. Let me take it back.
I was in the moment of hopefully a quality segment.
Yeah.
But if what you just said is true.
Let's not start that now. Why would we want to start that now?
If Vaughn is a 15-sack guy, that means there is obvious pass rushing scenarios in the second half of games because the Broncos' offense have given that defense a lead, and the Broncos are going to win a bunch of games. If Vaughn has 15 sacks, the Broncos will be 10-7.
We're back.
Thank you, Vance. I mean, look, okay, I want to walk through this real quick. You got the Jags this week. I mean, hopefully, you know, to me, it's at least a sack game for Vaughn. You agree, correct?
Yes.
The Jets are next week at home. Hopefully, you're 2-0. Rookie quarterback. Right, he's an athletic guy, but sometimes when you're an athletic guy, you try to do too much. Escape the pocket and all this stuff, right? And he's a young football player. Processing takes a little bit longer. You hold the ball longer. Jets offensive line, Mekhi Becton, he's out.
He's out.
So, look, just giving you a preview there. So that's the first three games. I'm thinking I'm walking away with, after three games, at least 4.5 sacks. Okay, now we go to the Baltimore Ravens.
They got their own issues.
They have their own issues in a big way.
Do you see that from earlier today, that news?
No. I saw somebody else got injured, but I didn't know. It started with a W or something? Last name? No? What was it?
No, Ronnie Stanley.
Oh, I didn't see this one.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't something going on with Ronnie Stanley? Didn't you like Ronnie Stanley's down. They're having to move a guy. And they got the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, by the way. Ravens Chiefs, that should be a doozy.
But a doozy.
Ronnie Stanley, from what I understand, has some sort of issue and is not playing. They're putting a guy.
Okay, anyway. Whatever. Villanueva, who's been with the Steelers forever, is their right tackle. He looked bad in a few plays last week. He gave up an easy sack. Lamar Jackson, what kind of quarterback is he? Very athletic. He tries to extend plays, and he holds the ball for a long, long, long time. Sacks are available in that game, especially if you can get a lead. If you can get a lead and make them have to throw the football. Lamar's not going down. He doesn't throw the football away very often. He's trying to make plays with his legs, and sometimes he just gets caught up in the offensive line. So, you know, first four games I'm looking at, like, what? And then the Steelers the next week? Big Ben doesn't move anywhere anymore. And he doesn't like throwing the football away. He still thinks he is like, you know, that guy that can shrug off, three, four guys and then throw it 50 yards down the field. It's time to eat. It's time to eat, Zach. I'm just telling you right now. I'm going through that, and those first five games, it's got me, especially the way that Vaughn started. I mean, he could really get off to a fast, fast start. Huge start in the first five games. I mean, there are sacks available. I mean, you agree with that? I mean, once you break it down,
absolutely.
Like... Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. I don't disagree with any of it. I don't disagree with any of it. And like I said, the biggest, like, yes, you know, and you emphasize this too, like, it's these two things coming together. It's Vaughn looking like Vaughn. You heard Stink say that on the broadcast. He said, it's like the glossiest thing he could say about Von Miller is that he looks like Von Miller.
Yeah.
Like, what a compliment. You look like the way that we used to see you. It doesn't get much higher praise than that. And it's the eye test. The eye tests are telling me that the guy's flying around. He looks like he's trimmed down. He looks fast. And like I said at the very start of the segment, I am bullish on Von, more bullish than I was 8 days ago because of what I saw on the non-sack plays. Looks like he's just totally engaged. Looks like he's aiming for a new contract is what it looks like. Looks like a guy who's on a mission. So we'll ultimately see what it looks like, but a great opportunity this weekend against the Jags.
Yep.
Great opportunity.
And then, you know, what else helps, but we don't need it. He shouldn't need it, and he doesn't need it, is having a competent offense. that can actually maybe get you a lead late in football games. I mean, that obviously helps in a big way, because now all of a sudden, you know you get to rush the passer. They have to throw the football. Well, when you're losing, guess what? They're not throwing the football very much. And when they do, they're probably, you know, they're chipping you and they're max protecting.
Sure.
So that helps give you more opportunities to get after the quarterback. And so hopefully that's the case here, especially in the first three games, where you can get some leads there in the fourth quarter and force the other team to play catch up and have to throw the football.
I want to play a clip from you, not from you, but for you, a little bit earlier today. Draymond Jones. We haven't really talked about Draymond Jones a lot, but he played his rear end off this weekend, Stoke. And in the run game, there was a couple plays that just, you like to say tossing dudes out of the club?
Yeah.
Just a couple, but just like whipping them. Woo! Like me and my bachelor party down in Ocean City when they kicked me out of the club. They threw me in the alleyway.
That was your bachelor party?
Yes. At Secrets in Ocean City.
That's a 40-piece! Mm.
I told you that story, I think, before.
Yeah, I remember like, it,
had,
but I don't.
They had springs in the floors. Secret. It's one of the craziest outdoor, indoor bars. There's live music in this wing. There's DJ.
Oh, it's a bar.
Oh, it's a massive club.
Oh, it's a club.
It's a bar. Club. It's a club.
Well, I thought it was something else when you said it. Sorry.
No, No.
I thought it's something else. I don't know. You said you're there for your bachelor party. I just assumed you said Secrets. I mean, come on. Right?
I mean, this
what
place
was the name of that place
massive.
You went to, though?
This place was massive, the Secrets place.
After Secrets, what was the name?
It's got a great reputation, and there's live music, there's club section, outdoor bar. There's a bar with the water goes up to your knees, and you're just in the sand. I mean, it's crazy. And the floor in the club part's got some springs to it. Like, literally, so when you jump, it's not like a trampoline, but it's almost like a gymnast, little thing that they hit the horse with or whatever, the vault. And me and the boys were going crazy.
Ugh.
And they had
too much Red Bull,
me up on their shoulders. And I feel someone pull my shoulders backwards, so I can't see what's going on. I don't know if it's one of my buddies that's taking it too far or whatever. Right. No. It's these massive bouncers. Pick me up. I never hit the ground. I went from being picked up by my boys to being lifted out of the club. They opened the door. They literally tossed me in the alleyway. It wasn't out the front door. It was the side door. A door that closes that's flush with the brick wall that doesn't have a handle.
Right.
You talk about like a crystallizing moment of like what just happened.
Like just like in a blink of an eye. You're just like bouncing with your buddies on their shoulders, having a great time.
40
next thing you know,
later, and
you're in the alley.
They got to walk me through the club.
Right.
So like people are parting. So like this guy who was just up there, we could see him on the shoulders, gets tossed into the alleyway.
I mean, there was hey, buddy, can you just get down? Hey, buddy, can you just get down, please?
They may have given a warning. I don't even remember.
Yeah, they probably did. See, the story's taking a turn to make you look better.
So I said, everyone knows this story, Zach. Or maybe I've just been listening daily for too long.
But no, you have told it before, but
not too many times.
No, once or twice in four and a half years. Yeah, but it's always fun to hear it again because I forgot some of the details.
And I don't know what politicking happened because I was alone out there in the alley for a second. I don't know if there was cash handed.
Uh-huh.
But next thing you know, 1 or 2 minutes later, that door came back open and said, anything again, like you're gone for good. Like,
right.
But come back in.
Oh.
It's a celebration coming back in. The people who are just parting were now giving me high fives on the way back in.
Good. They let you back in.
They did.
So you weren't misbehaving that bad.
No, it wasn't crazy. It wasn't crazy. All right. Draymond Jones.
Yes.
Draymond Jones. Tossing people out of the club. That's how we got there. Was up on the podium this afternoon and was asked about Urban Meyer. And, Richie, the initial question was what here?
It was, is he surprised about the reports that Urban Meyer is not connecting well with the veterans in Jacksonville?
Okay, so this is he went to Ohio State, played for Urban for a few years. This was his response.
Am I surprised by it? No.
Why?
Why? I just know how he is. I'm not about to go into great detail about it, but, it doesn't surprise me.
Oof. Oof. That's a guy that...
backed it right up over
him. Doesn't think fondly of Urban Meyer, but, wants to... Doesn't want to you know, bash him too bad, but wants to let people know how he feels at the same time, right?
Yep.
You know? So you could tell there's no love lost there, and Draymond Jones got his point across without having to bash Urban Meyer. But he got his point across loud and clear to me.
Yeah.
You?
Yep. Yep. Sometimes by just not playing the game, when you don't play the game, like, oh, I'm asked about my former coach, I'm going to totally gloss him. He did not play the game. And it should be noted that when Draymond Jones was at Ohio State with Urban Meyer, he did not. Draymond Jones did not have a great career at Ohio State. Didn't have a great career. Up until his final year, it was rather undistinguished. Now, even that final year, it wasn't like totally, you know, All-American. He was third team All-Big Ten, if my memory serves correct, from my draft prep there. But when he was playing under Urban Meyer, he was a redshirt to start his career. His redshirt freshman year didn't have a sack. And then by the time 2017 rolls around, I think Urban was maybe one more year there. And 2017, Draymond Jones only had one single sack. So under Urban Meyer, he had one sack, didn't play a whole lot to start his career. So maybe the vibes weren't great between those two. Because
Draymond, well, you can certainly tell.
Yeah.
There's no love lost there. And, you know, he didn't completely throw him under the bus, but he lets you know how he felt without really letting you know how he felt.
Yep.
But very interesting.
All right. Take it for what it's worth. Take it for what it's worth. Maybe we'll see him pregame.
I don't think you're going to see him mug.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, pregame chatter, postgame handshake.
Nah.
Probably not.
No.
Probably
not. Doesn't sound like it.
All right. George Payton is going to have to make a decision on the future of one prominent Bronco after the season. And it may not be as easy as we thought even just a few weeks ago. Take a dive into it next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.